It is good to be with you here at Rock Mills. It's good to be with Brother Billy again and Miss Patsy. What a blessing they were and are in my life. We go all the way back to the late 80s. I guess it was mid to late 80s when I've done it. Early 80s. Woo. Wow. Late 70s, early 80s. Have been a while. Back when me and him both were younger and had better sense and littler to a whole lot littler. Amen. I had hair. He cut his off. Mine just fell out. Amen. But anyway, it is good to be here with you tonight. Good to have my darling wife, Mary Ann. Hold your hand up. Well, that's my good-looking wife, Mary Ann, over there. She goes with me most everywhere I go. Holds down a full-time job on top of that and follows me all over the countryside. My real job is I'm the associational missionary for the 46 now, about to be, Southern Baptist Churches in and around Troup County. And represents probably around 14,000 folks. But I tell folks, don't let that number impress you, because half of them, we don't know where they're at. Half of the other half, FBI couldn't find them. So don't be impressed by that. I'm just Brother Aaron, all I am. But it is a privilege to be here with you tonight. I take this honor as a distinct honor to be here. I'm looking forward to these three nights with you. I will tell you that it's my intention tonight not to give you the whole load in one night. I do realize I'll be here three nights, so I'll try not to burden you down too bad on the first night so that you don't want to come back the second night and the third night. But I want you to turn with me to probably the most, or maybe the second most, familiar passage of Scripture in the Bible, and that's the 23rd Psalm. And I suppose maybe the only other passage that might be more familiar would be John 3:16. Now, I don't know which one would be most familiar. They'd run a close race there. But I want you to stand in honor and respect to the reading of God's Word tonight. Beginning with Psalms 23:1, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to try to bring you a message tonight that God has laid on my heart. And I believe it's specifically for you tonight. And I've entitled, Your Seat at the Table. Your Seat at the Table. Would you pray with me? Father, I do thank you, Lord, for the privilege to be here tonight. I pray, God, that you would continue to grace us with your presence. Lord, as we've already felt you in this place tonight, we thank you for that. Lord, I pray, God, that you would anoint me afresh and anew to do the one thing in life, Lord, I know you've called me to do. Lord, that being to preach your blessed gospel. Don't understand why you did it, but I just know you did, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that you'd move amongst us through your Spirit. Pray, God, that you'd not only anoint me as the preacher, but you'd anoint all of us as listeners, Father, that we might attentively listen to the message you send tonight. And God, then, that you would anoint us as doers, that by having heard this message tonight, that we would act upon it, Lord. And Father, that it would change our lives. Lord, that it would change this church. Lord, if there be those here tonight who do not know you and the free pardon of sin, I pray tonight would be the night that they would encounter you. Lord, perhaps those who have maybe grown cold and indifferent, I pray you'd draw them back to you, Lord. Father, I pray for revival for this church. Lord, this is a time that's set aside, a renewal of, Lord, being reinvigorated again over the work that you've given for this church. I pray, God, for that revival. I pray for all the ministry that she sets her hand to do for you, Lord. I pray you'd bless it. Now, Lord, again, be with us in these next few moments. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. many fond memories of my childhood are woven around the kitchen table. Now, y'all could probably look at me and figure that out, that I have many fond memories over many good meals. Y'all wouldn't believe it. Billy can attest for it, and Patsy. They can't really attest for all of this, but they can a good portion of it. I didn't always look like I look. I've always been this tall. I was born this tall. And I was. No, I wasn't. But it almost seemed like I was. George. I didn't recognize George. But George knew me from my way back yonder days. Now, I was this tall and weighed 150 pounds. You can tell I've been fellowshipping around a lot of tables. Amen. So that was many, many pounds ago. But many of my favorite memories around the kitchen table. I have two brothers and a sister. And of course, there was Mama and Daddy also. So six of us sat around that little table in their home. We sat there for breakfast and for lunch and for supper. I vividly remember the smells in my mind tonight of the food that Mama prepared. Now, I want you to just do that with me a minute. Now, maybe it's been a while since you've thought about this. I want you to think back to your mother, your home, those tables. Just close your eyes with me for a minute. And just in your mind, just kind of inhale. And can you smell the aroma in your mind of the table, the food that Mama prepared? Ooh, good, ain't it? Good. Now, of course, it's not as good as your wife prepared, because she will tell you real quickly, I ain't your mama. Amen. But let me tell you, I can vividly remember that, and I can remember the chatter around the table and the bantering back and forth and the good times. And I can I tell this on my brothers and sisters, and people think I'm making things up when I tell this, but I'm not. My mama wasn't very much for change. She got in a routine, that's pretty much what she was going to do. And every morning, most every morning, she fixed grits for breakfast. I loved grits. And I'm the baby of the four of us children. And what my two brothers and sister would do, they would distract Mama. They would take turns distracting her. And as they would distract her, one at a time, they'd rake their grits off into my bowl. Every morning I had four helping of grits. What was really funny, Mama didn't know this until about 8 or 10 years ago at a family gathering. She found it out and she said, y'all did that to my baby. I said, no, Mama, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. But of all those memories around that table, one stands out. And you know what it was? Everybody had an assigned place at that table. Now, having an assigned place at the table meant that you were a member of a thing called family. Amen. Your place at the table wasn't predicated on how much money you could earn, what your station in life was, how handsome or how good looking you were, or maybe didn't even care how ugly you were, how fat or skinny. You had a place at the table simply because you were a member of the family. It meant that you were entitled to your portion of the food. It meant that somebody loved you enough to pay for, provide, and prepare the food that you were eating. It meant that you were accepted, period. You were accepted. But it also meant that if you weren't in your assigned seat, something was wrong. Something was wrong. Now, years have come and gone since we all sat around Mama's table. As I said earlier, I can still smell the aroma in my mind. But one by one, we grew up and we grew away from that table. But on occasion, we would still gather at Mom and Daddy's for Thanksgiving or Christmas, and how delightful it was to reassemble and reminisce about days gone by and re-experience the joy that was found by reassuming for a little while your place at the table. I wish I could do it again. But it's forever changed. Mama's eating off of a different table now. She's eating off God's table. We won't have that experience anymore with her until we all get over there. But I want you to know tonight, I've experienced the same thing with my own children. In our home, we have a huge, huge dining room table that will seat 10 adults. Big old thing. My wife and I have 4 children. And I know, y'all, I'm going to blow your mind when I tell you this, but we have 6 grandchildren. And I know you're able to look at me and you say, oh, you're not old enough. You're right. We started when we were 7. Amen. No, I'm kidding. But you know what? During time, our babies grew up and grew away from our table. Now, Marianne and I eat out. Period. We eat out. I tell folks, jokingly and lovingly, that if I ever wanted to hide something from Mary Ann, I'd put it in the oven. It would be safe. Amen. Now, y'all think she's going to get mad at me, but just last week, she actually cooked something. And you know what she come told me? She said, I looked in the oven to make sure there wasn't nothing in there before I turned it on. But on occasion, we all still gather. And what a blessing it is when all my children come around and they reassume their place at the table. Boy, they tell things that me and Mary Ann didn't have a clue they'd done. And would have killed them if we knew they was doing it. But what a time we have. And I've said all of that to say this, I want to examine now the 23rd Psalm. And I want to talk a little bit about our place at the table. Now, when you look at the 23rd Psalm, most of us know it by heart. We can quote it. We preach it at funerals. We love it. But too often we miss an important part of it. We proclaim the Lord is my shepherd part. And we get that. We get that. We proclaim the part where it says, we shall not want. And we understand that and we get that. And we get the parts about lying down in green pastures and restoring our soul. And we get the part about being restored and being led. And we get the part about walking through the valley of the shadow of death and his rod and his staff comforting us. But the 5th verse is where we often miss it. The 5th verse says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies, or mine enemies. I can listen to you quote that 5th verse and tell where your heart would lie with it. Because many times when we quote this scripture, we place the emphasis on where the table is being prepared. We preach sermons that God will prepare a table before us in the presence of our enemies. We rub that in. We say, when all of the spiritual demons of hell come against us, all our enemies, God will give us a table in their presence. And that's what we focus on. And that's not wrong within itself. But I want you to hear me say something tonight. We miss the fact that when we say God's going to prepare him for the presence of our enemies, we miss the fact that God has prepared a table for us. Do you get that? It don't matter where it is. Don't matter if it's in the presence of your enemies. Doesn't matter if it's in the presence of your friends. The point is, God has prepared a table for me and you. And I want you to see this tonight. And I want to use this little table here for an example. And I want you to picture in your mind's eye that this table is spread with a banquet that only Christ could spread. There's the bread of life that's on it. There's the wine of the Spirit. My, 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 my. There are the fullness of the Godhead bodily prepared for you and I. And on this table, there are two little RSVP cards with a reservation. And on this side of the table, it's got Jesus wrote across it. Jesus. And on this side of the table is my name and your name. Now I want to ask you something tonight. Are you sitting at the table with the Lord? Many of y'all know me. Y'all know that most of the times I'm sucking wind and slanging snot. Amen. Most of the time I run around and I go, whoa, when I'm preaching. But tonight I ain't in that gear. God got me throttled back and focused. I want to ask the question today. Are you at your place at God's table? I submit to you tonight that revival in this church will not come as the result of more people attending. It won't come by you having better programs. It won't come by Billy Allen preaching better sermons. It won't come by somebody singing a better song. It won't come by an evangelist coming in who's got some clever sermons and some catchphrases and tells you some funny stories. That will not usher in revival. But hear me tonight, people. Revival can only come when one by one you, the members of this church, reassume your place at God's table. Amen. That's where your revival's going to come from. Oh, Brother Aaron, we thought you had revival with you. No. All I can do is come preach the messages God puts on my heart. Amen. Well, preacher, I thought Brother Billy would tell us how to have revival. He can give you every program that ever came out of Nashville. And it ain't going to bring a revival. Revival can only come when we very quietly and very deliberately reassume our place at the table. Amen. The Bible says that number one, God prepared this table. And I want you to see tonight, if you're keeping notes, this is point number one. God prepared a table of fellowship. God prepared a table of fellowship. Verse 5, thou preparest. Thou, you, God. David said, you, the supreme God of the universe, you, that God. Are y'all getting this tonight? That God who stepped out on the middle, in the middle of nothing, and simply began to say, let it be, and it was, that God prepared a table. Whew. Let me ask you something tonight. When that God prepares a table, how dare us not show up? Amen. But God prepared means that He desires to fellowship with me and you. Let me tell y'all something tonight. And I'm just going to take my time tonight, brother. And I'm going to walk through this the way I feel God wants me to preach it. God's not impressed. And no, God not really doesn't want all the things that we think would impress Him. You know what? It's a good thing to come to Sunday school. I love Sunday school. I've seen folks go around with them Sunday school pins that drag down to their knees. That might impress you and it might impress me. It don't impress God. Because that's not what God's looking for. First and foremost. He likes that, yeah. You know, I've seen folks that said, well, I've been a member, I was a charter member of this church, and I came as a little boy, a little girl, and I've been here through three world wars, and I've been here through depressions and all of this. And good for you. I'm proud for you. But that doesn't impress God. You know what impresses God? Same thing that impresses you with your babies. The majority of y'all in here are old enough like I am to be able to relate to this. It's when you see them coming down the driveway. Amen. Amen. And they come up and they're coming home. And they say, Daddy, Mama, just wanted to come visit with you a while. Wanted to pull myself up to your table. And Mama, I wanted to eat some of your biscuits again. And I wanted to sit and talk. And I wanted to be accepted for who I am again. That's what's impressive to God. Is when we come around God's table and say, Lord, I just want a fellowship with you for a while, God. God, I'm not coming with my Christmas list this time. I'm not coming to say, I won't, I won't, I won't. Bless me, bless me, bless me. God, I'm just coming to sit down and fellowship with you a little while. My. Jesus desires fellowship with you and I. This means when he said he prepared, it means that he's already done all the work. Oh, how many of you like me now have gone home to Mama and Daddy on Thanksgiving or Christmas or whatever, and you smell that smell a mile before you got there, and when you walked in, the banquet table was already set. You didn't even have to do nothing. All you had to do was just show up and dig in. Amen. Boy, ain't it good? That's what it means when it said God prepared. He's done all the work. He just wants you to show up. Whew. Brother Aaron, you mean we don't have to do anything for revival? Oh, you will do some things, but let me tell you something. The work has been done. The work was finished on Calvary, and 3 days later, through an empty tomb, the work was done. Amen. So, Brother Aaron, we got to do something to build our church. No, you don't. Oh, you ain't never going to invite me back to preach revival, are you? But no, you don't have to do anything to build God's church. How you got that, Brother Aaron? Because he told Peter, he said, Thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He's doing the work. All we got to do is just show up.
Amen.
Amen. Whoo! Glory. He sends the invitations. He said, come, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. He said, whosoever will, let him come. My Lord, have mercy. He prepared the menu. You don't even have to come up with what's on the table. He secured the food. He secured the place. He sets the ambiance. Whoo! My. He seats us at his table as his most honored guests. And he cleans up the mess when it's all over with. All you got to do is just show up. Let me tell you how good God is. I learned this at the Antiquity Center in LaGrange. I was taking a tour before they opened, my wife and I. And they took us into the place where they've got a couple of rooms set up that are to scale and are replicas of the Last Supper, the Passover meal. And contrary to our opinions, wasn't like the Leonardo da Vinci painting of the 12. Wasn't like that. It's a table that's in a U shape. And it's only about that high off the floor. And they laid down to eat. And the food would be in the middle of the horseshoe or the U shape. And they would prepare and they would serve. But I learned something over to the left of that table where we're at. He said this would have been the place where the host would have laid on his mat. And said next to him would have been his most honored guest at the banquet. And he said, I'm about to shout right here. He said, to the most honored guest was reserved the right that to him he would sop the sop. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. I said, did you just say the most honored guest? He said, yes, I did. I said, wait a minute. He sopped the sop with Judas. You're right. Oh, Lord, have mercy. That's how good God is. That he who he knew would betray him was the most honored guest at his table. Oh, y'all ain't getting this, are you? Let me tell you something. I fail God daily. I make a miserable mess out of this. He should have booted me out a long time ago. He should have thrown me in the pits of hell and said, get what you deserve. But because he's such a good God, he has set for me a place at his table. Woo! Hallelujah. I thank God tonight that my place at the table is dictated because I'm family, Billy. Amen. Not because of how I act. I've been adopted into a king's family. Whew. Let me tell y'all, I don't know where I'm going to get with this night. I'm full. And I'm just trying to give you what God's given me. When our next and oldest son was 8 years old, we got him when he was 8 years old. See, we have four children. Three are biological. One is a foster child we kept. And we wound up keeping him. It's a long story. I can tell you that, but I'm going to spare you that for the sake of time. But he's now, how old is he, 26? 27 years old. Still ours. Been with us. For a little short period of time, he wasn't with us. But when he's 8, he come to be with us. And you know what? We took him in. Now, I'm telling you something here tonight. You don't have to be blood to be family. Amen. Amen. You can be adopted in. I was adopted into the Lord's family. But we never adopted him. I always told him, I said, it's your choice. If you want me to, I will. I said, I'd love to. But I'm not trying to force it on you. For a long time, he said, oh, Daddy, I've already got my last name established and all this, that. No, I said, son, that's fine. That's fine. It's not a big deal. We went on vacation about 4 or 5 weeks ago. And he called and he said, Daddy, said, I want to have lunch or supper with you and Mama, me and my wife do when y'all get back. So I got something I want to talk to you about. I didn't really know what he wanted to talk about. I just knew I had a child who would buy me a meal. I said, this don't ever happen. Hallelujah. And we went to the restaurant and he sat across from us. And about a tenth of the way into the meal, he said, you know, I invited you here. I want to talk to you. He said, I got something real serious I want to talk to you about. He said, I went to court the other day. And he said, I need you to see what they gave me in court. And I'm thinking, oh, my Lord, what has this boy done? They're going to put him under the jail. And I picked up a paper. And I began to read where it says, be it so decreed by this judge on the order of this day that Jeremy Jonas Moore has changed his name to Jeremy Jonas McCullough. He had a place at the table to begin with, but it's even more secured. Because you see, Nash told my name. And if he has a little grand boy, it's going to tote my name. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Let me ask you tonight, are you seated at your place in God's table? Listen, all we got to do is show up, Revelation 3:20, Jesus said, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and do what? And will sup with him and he with me." All you got to do is just show up and let him in and sit at the table. My Lord. I wonder today, are we in our place at God's table? Let me ask you tonight, did the real you show up at the Lord's table? Or did you just send your body on ahead? Whew. Hello, Billy, they're looking at me like a calf staring at a new gate. Huh? I said, did the real you show up or did you just send your body? See, this is just the house you live in. The real you is your heart, mind, soul. That's the real you. And sometimes we just send our body to go through the motions. Hello? Did we show up? Are we passionate about what we're doing? Are we just saying, well, if I don't do it, nobody else will. Oh, Lord, I hate that. Y'all have heard me preach that 1,000 times, but I hate that. I hate this time of the year in church life. You know why? Because you got your nominating committees coming on. They ought to be outlawed. Amen. You know why? Because you get the preacher and the nominating committee together, and they go through the list of got to have the flowers and the this and the that and the other and what have. And they'll go to somebody after they've prayed over it and say, "Will you serve on this for the coming year?" And they go, "Well, if nobody else will, I guess I will." You know, I got one to tell them, no, you won't. No. If that's your attitude, stay away from the job. I'd rather have it empty than have somebody with that kind of attitude in it. So you know why? You're going to get that all year long. I don't want to be here doing this, but nobody else will do it, so I got to do it. No, you don't. We'll get along just fine without you doing it. Woo, that's bold for you to preach, brother. I ain't got to live with you. He does. Amen. Amen. If you ain't passionate about it, don't do it. Find out what you are passionate about and do that. Amen. Did we show up with the correct attitude? Woo. Did we come to the table with the correct attitude? My mama used to make me mad enough I could kill her if I knew daddy wouldn't kill me. But she'd make me mad and I was good at pouting. How many of y'all were good at pouting? I'd run them lips out and I'd be sitting at the table. When my lips poked out, she'd come by and she said, "Oh, this just infuriated me." "Well, young man, I see you have those lips run out there far enough for me to walk to town and back home." I'm going to say, "Well, thank you for noticing. Do something about it." She never would. Amen. Some of them show up at church like that, Brother Billy. "Well, I'm here. I'm in my place. Bless me if you can, preacher." Don't think you can. Better preachers than you took a shot at it and I ain't been blessed yet. Amen. You don't dare show up at a Baptist church in a good mood and let anybody know it. Because some of them there with them sourpuss long faces have been sucking on lemon juice and green persimmon mix. They'll take care of it for you. If they see you having a good day, they'll take care of it. They'll pounce on you and they'll go to ugly and all over you. The next thing you know, you done got a bad attitude. You mad, don't even know why you mad. You like Jerry Clower's dogs. Them two hounds he had that was Bromy and something or other. And mama throwed the boiled okra out and it was so slimy that one of them got up and they hit it with one bite and it all slid down his throat. He thought the other one ate it. He jumped on the other one. Two dogs fighting and only one of them knew why they was fighting. Amen. I got to hurry up. Listen. Did we show up dressed spiritually in our correct attire? Now, I'm not talking about physical attire. I'm talking about spiritual attire. What is it, Brother Aaron?
Galatians 5:22 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Come dressed in that. You know, you about gonna find what you come for. You come looking for something, you about gonna find that. Those of you come tonight, if you come looking for a blessing, you've already found it. You've already made your mind up whether you like me or not. You've already made your mind up probably whether you're going to come back the next two nights or not. Because you'll find what you come looking for. Now listen, if you want to come and find all the mistakes the preacher makes, hello, you'll find them. Ain't hard at all with Billy Allen. I don't even have to try to find fault in that boy. Amen. But you know what? I ain't going to do that because if I do that with him, he'll have an easier time finding my faults. Amen. If you come looking for a blessing, you found that. If you come looking for something ugly, you found that already. Pretty much depends on you. Amen. God prepared a table of fellowship for me and you. And He wants nothing more than the fellowship with us. He wants to hear about our sorrows. He wants to share our laughters. He wants to help us along life's way. But we got to show up at the table first. I distinctly remember Mama calling us to the table. Now, she and Daddy would be interested in what happened in our world that day. We'd laugh together and we'd cry together and we shared life together as we sat at that table. God prepared a table of fellowship. But number two, I want you to see something. Sometimes we forfeit our right to sit at that table. Mama had certain rules pertaining to her table. Number one, you had to wash your hands before you came to Mama's table. She didn't allow filth to sit at her table. Whew. I don't even need to stop right there, do I? But let me tell you something else about it. Manners were enforced at that table. You said, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am, yes, sir, no, sir. You were polite at that table. My Lord, don't we need this preached in Baptist churches? If you want to come, come clean. Don't drag the filth of the world in with you. Don't ugly all over everybody else. Don't stink everything up everybody else. And observe some manners while you're worshiping. Say, yes, sir, no, sir. Thank you, please. I'm sorry. Just plain manners. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Church folks can be ugly folks. I jokingly tell folks, if you gave me my choice, said, you're going to have to leave this building tonight and fight somebody when you go. You can either fight Hell's Angels on this side of the parking lot or a bunch of mad church folks on this side. I'm going with Hell's Angels every time. You know why? Because they'll just kill you and be done with it. Them church members are going to torture you for a good long while. Amen. Y'all shout me down when I get to preaching too good now. You spoke politely at the table. There was no arguing and there was no backbiting. And if you violated those rules, you went away from the table. And you came back and ate when there wasn't nobody there but you and your food was cold. Don't you wish that every Baptist church would give the preacher the right to put members in time out? Don't you wish every church had the member to put had the privilege to put the pastor in time out? Amen. Can't you see this? You in time out, Brother Billy. We look at each other and say, you, that sour attitude, time out. Because we're coming to the table, and we're going to eat the meal that the Lord's prepared. And we don't need your negative attitude at the table. We don't need your rudeness at the table. But if I try to eat when somebody's mad at me and I'm mad at them, give me indigestion. Amen. When you got a bigger belly as I got, you got indigestion all over when you get indigestion. Amen. I don't like it. I like to sit and eat in peace and harmony and love. Whew, I wish he'd get through. I wish I could too. Amen. Many of us have violated our right to sit at the table of God's fellowship. Our prayer life has caused some of us to forfeit our right to be there.
because we've abandoned it. Our attendance record has caused some to forfeit it. Our attitude has caused others, and maybe my tithing record or our tongue. Now, I pretty much got it all in that one statement, didn't I? Amen. I've covered everything that evangelist ought to say. But I hope you hear me tonight. What this church needs and what most other churches needs is just to reassume your position at the table. We need to fall in love with Jesus again. He told in the book of Revelation, churches of Ephesus, what did he tell them? He said, I got a little bit against you. You know why? You've left your first love. Now, I'm going to get real plain and just real loving here tonight. Is Jesus still the first thing in your life? Is the first thing or the main thing still the main thing? Or has church programs or power struggles or this or that, has it crowded it out? Listen to me. He said, you left your first love. You know what we need to do tonight more than anything? We just need to pull a chair up at the Lord's table and say, Lord, I just want to fall in love with you again. And I want you to fall all over in love with me again. We need to fall in love with each other again. Hello. You know what the Lord told his disciples? He said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. People in that world out there aren't going to know you're the Lord's disciples because you go out and say so. They don't know you're his disciples by the way you love each other. Amen. We need to fall in love with this church again. Amen. It's pastor, it's leadership, all there is about it. We need to fall in love with it. And I'm just going to be brutally honest tonight. I'm not trying to be mean-spirited, but God's putting this on me. And I'm going to tell you what, I'd rather have you mad at me than I have to have God mad at me. But I'm going to tell you something. If you're not passionate about this church, and you're not going to be passionate about this church, then please go find one you can be passionate about. Amen. Praise the Lord. We love you. But don't come to the table with your lips stuck out. Don't come to the table with your agenda. Just come to God's table to fellowship with Him. Lord have mercy. We need to fall in love with the Bible again. Hello. We need to fall in love with prayer again. And we need to fall in love with our enemies again. Be honest with me tonight. What's keeping you from your seat at God's table? Now, I want to tell you something. I'm headed to a close. God prepared a table of fellowship, number one. Number two, sometimes we forfeit our right to sit at the table. And number three, sometimes we don't like the food on God's table. How many of you remember going to Mama's table and being something on there you didn't like? Asparagus, maybe. Broccoli. Something along those lines. But you know what? My mama had a silly little rule about her table. And it went something just about like this. Young man, if I prepared it and put it on your plate, you're going to eat it. And it's a whole lot better hot than it is cold. But you can have it either way, because you're not getting up from this table until you eat what I put on your plate. I learned a lot, like a lot of things that I didn't like. Grows on you. I like asparagus. Y'all like asparagus? I had to eat it. I learned to like it. I like broccoli. Y'all like broccoli? I can even tolerate cauliflower. But I'd a whole lot rather have some ham and turnip greens and cornbread and green blade onions and beans and stuff like that. But you don't always like what's on God's table. And I'm about to close. But go with me. Don't leave me. I find that Mama wasn't being mean to me. She just knew what was best for me. Amen. Amen. Now let me tell you something. There came a day that even Jesus Christ did not like what was on the menu. What? That's right.
In Luke 22:42, you'll find it recorded, where Jesus said something like this, saying, it's in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." He didn't like the drink that was set on the table, because it was the cup of suffering, the cup of pain, the cup of sin, the cup of death. He said, "Oh, Daddy, can't you just rearrange the menu this one time?" But then he went on to say, "Daddy, it ain't about me. It's about you and your will. Daddy, it ain't about what I like to eat, but it's what you need me to eat and want me to eat tonight. Daddy, it ain't about what's on my table, but it's about what's on your table. And I surrender my will to yours." Now I'm right down where the rubber meets the road. And if you can't feel the power of God in this place tonight, I feel sorry for you. But I'm right down where the rubber meets the road. You know why a lot of us aren't sitting at the table with the Lord? Because we will not surrender our stubborn will to His. It ain't about me. It ain't about you. It ain't never been about me, and it never will be about me, and it's never been about you, and it never will be. But it's always been about presenting the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. There are folks who are on their way to hell, and if somebody doesn't intervene, they'll bust it wide open, and we're more concerned over the order of service in a bulletin, or who sang what song, or what color the carpet is, or who put the flower there. My Lord, folks, the best thing we need to do is just get over ourselves. It ain't about you. You don't like the color of this carpet? Be thankful you got carpet. Amen. You don't like the color of these walls? Be thankful there's some paint on them. Amen. There's people dying and going to hell. We don't have a place at God's table. It's empty. My. Let's get something crystal clear tonight. Crystal clear. And I love you. And I hope I haven't been mean-spirited tonight, because I'm not meaning to be. But I've just had a tough message to preach tonight. We don't get our choice in messages. You say, "Brother Aaron, you want to preach something?" I couldn't. I wanted to. I couldn't. God put this on. "Oh, you just warm something." Oh, no. This is the first run of this one. You got this one. This is for you tonight. You understand me? Let me make something crystal clear. Revival cannot happen until you reassume your place at the table. Amen. That's where it starts. Hallelujah. What a Savior. Would you bow your head with me for a moment? I'm not coming to you. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to share with Brother Billy what you may share with me in the next few moments. But I want to ask you something tonight. Are you at your seat at the Lord's table? Or is it vacant? Now, I want to ask you that, and you be honest. I don't know you people. I don't nobody know anybody's name in here tonight, but George is the only one I know. And Billy and Patsy and Mary Ann. And I know some of these other folks, but I forgot their names. So you see, it ain't about this. But I want to ask you something. Are you at your seat at the table? Would you let me pray with you tonight? Would there be anybody in this place who'd be honest and say, "Brother Aaron, God used you to nail it tonight in my life. I'm not at my seat at the table. I've let something distract me. And I want you to pray for me, Brother Aaron,
that first and foremost, before I attempt to do anything else in this church, that I'd simply get myself back in my seat at the Lord's table. That my prayer life would be in order. That my devotion life would be in order. That my service life would be in order. That my family life would be in order. It's all predicated, Brother Aaron, on me getting back at my seat at the table. Would you pray with me? Would you just slip your hand up and put it right back down if you want me to pray with you? I want to do that. God bless you. God bless you. There be others. Brother Aaron, I want to get back at my place at the table. Would there be anybody in this place tonight that would say, Brother Aaron, I don't even know that I have a place at the table because I can't tell you that I'm saved. Pray for me, Brother Aaron, that I'll go out of here tonight knowing that the Lord is my Savior, that I'd give my life to Him. Would there be anybody in this building like that? Let me pray with you as they come with a song, as Brother Billy comes forward. We'll go into our altar call time. You respond as God lays on your heart to respond. Father, I thank you, Lord, for these two precious hands that were raised. Lord, who said, I'm not at my place at the table. Now, Lord, I don't know what may have moved them from the place, that place. But God, I know you want them back. You want fellowship restored. God, you want to just love on them. And God, you want to love on all of us tonight, Lord. And I pray, God, you'd do that tonight. I lift these hands to you. I lift this service to you. I ask, God, for your will to be done right now in this altar call time. God, would you let revival come? God, I don't even know how to pray for it other than just to say, let it come, Lord. Because I don't know, God. Maybe there's relationships that need mending. Maybe there's things that need changing. I don't know, Lord. God, please send revival into this place tonight. In Jesus' name. While we stand and we sing number
307.
This altar's open for any reason. You come. Your pastor is standing down front. Maybe you're a visitor in this church and would like for me to pray with you. Or maybe you're a member. I'd love to pray with anybody. But your pastor's here too. You obey God while we sing.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come.
Sing of that other verse. Let me tell you now tonight, this altar's open. If you hadn't figured it out, I don't pull punches. I just give what God gives me. And I want to just be real honest with you tonight. You've got a decision to make. Do you really want a revival in these three nights? Do you really? If you want one, God will send you one. I promise you that. Now, if y'all want to just have three services and nothing change, you can have that too. It's up to you. And I feel tonight I just want to call this old the whole church to prayer. Pray for revival. Pray that the Spirit would fall in such a way that none of us would be the same when this is over. Would you do that tonight? It's up to you. It's your decision. I'm just an old evangelist that he brought in. The real deal is between you and God. Take your seat at his table.
Just as I am waiting on to rid my soul of one, Lord God, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God.
About with many a con. my privilege to be here with you tonight. Thank you for your kind attention. In a moment, I'm going to turn it to Billy and let him close it however he sees fit. But y'all been a great congregation to preach to tonight. I tried not to give you the whole load tonight, but I guess I backed that dump truck up and pulled the lever pretty good, didn't I? Come tomorrow night, it'll be worse. Amen. But I do want to say this before I leave. Got some very special friends over here. I've met these four folks over here at the Iduma Congregational Methodist Church up in Wedowee. Yeah, that's where that was at. Now, my brother here, you're pastoring somewhere else. Where are you?
Jordan's Chapel.
Yes. Okay. All right. But I'm glad to have them with us tonight. I want y'all to make, I know you'll do it anyway, but just, you know, they were crazy enough to come here on purpose to hear me. After a week of revival with them, they still come. What's wrong with them? Oh, no. Thank y'all for coming. Brother Billy, you close it however the Lord lays you on your heart.
Appreciate the message that you brought, and hope everybody will take and apply it to their hearts. Be sure that we're all in our rightful place at the table. And when you take and think about it, not just the ones of us here at Rock Hill First Baptist, but all the different churches.
That's right.
We've got several different churches and denominations that are represented here tonight. I want to encourage you to come, encourage you to invite somebody to come with you. And just let the Lord have his way and let him have the victory.
Amen.
Don't let the old devil have the victory. He loves getting the victory better than anything in all churches. And just be encouraged to come out of him. Any word before we disappear? God sits here and tells Brother Aaron, did you appreciate him coming? I did. He was talking about the grit. I'm reading up, Brother Aaron, I wonder if. Do you still eat four portions of grit?
I love them. I do love them. I don't get four portions, but I do love them. Before, yeah. I was, they kept me that skinny.
If you know what I mean, it's the ideal.
Yeah.
I wonder if it had some way of cutting down on the.
Might have. Might have.
It's just an ideal. He can tell you all about how to get your wife to take care of lazy clothes out for you.
I can do it. All that kind of stuff. I can do it.
And everything, of course, now I never was able to talk my wife into. Like her daddy had his wife. My dad-in-law would look at my mother-in-law and say, Clara, it's time for my bath. She'd get up, go run his water, get his towel out, get everything laid out, and then he'd go take his bath.
You mean have a woman don't do that?
I know her, she ain't doing that. He's the only man I ever knew that was able to pull that and everything. But he does have it with the clothes now. That's a guarantee on that.
Right.
Range is colorblind.
I am. All you got to do, man, is embarrass your wife in front of about 500 people. And she'll make you a promise. She said, I promise you, you won't never embarrass me like that again. I will lay your clothes out and you will wear what I lay out. It works.
Hey, now, we have a good time. We've been like this all these years for years. I surrendered free February 1982.
Wow.
How long ago we
been
doing each other?
Yeah.
Yeah, longer. He's getting old. I've been getting younger, but he's getting older. He's got a bunch of grandkids. I don't have no grandkids. But I choke on something. Anyhow, let's go to the Lord in prayer. I don't said enough. I'll get some better in a little bit. Brother Gene, you heard.